nastyeva gatiranyata. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Welcome to the house that Srila Prabhupada built called ISKCON, a house in which the whole world could live. First, I'd like to share with you my latest personal realizations. For the past 3 days, while I've been chanting and studying and praying, Krishna has been revealing one after another throughout my whole life how many times he has saved me. And it was actually astounding these last 3 days as Krishna reminded me, oh, do you remember this incident when I saved you? Do you remember this incident and this? And it was going on year after year after year after year. So many times Krishna reminded me, I have saved you. So thinking back, I am actually bewildered and completely humbled, because all these times that Krishna saved me from so many incidents, actually I did not deserve. I'm talking about even before coming to Krishna consciousness in 1973, there were so many incidents that I should have been severely punished. In one case, I should have been arrested. But Krishna has saved me throughout my life in so many ways. Even after joining this movement, so many things I have done. And I'm wondering why I'm so lucky. So I don't have an explanation. I guess, I don't want to sound puffed up, but for some reason Krishna likes me. Even the fact that I'm sitting here speaking in front of you, I'm thinking there are so many better, more advanced devotees, yet Krishna is letting this dog speak about him. So all I can say is, thank you, Krishna. I know many people who don't come here, they have an expression, thank you, Jesus. So I can say, thank you, Krishna. And I would have to say, the greatest thing that Krishna has given me in my life, and I'm now going to do a rhyme, the greatest thing that Krishna has given me in my life, besides my wife, is that Krishna gives me opportunities to talk about him, to sing about him. Dare I may say it, I will use the word preach. Ooh. There's one temple I go to, I am forbidden to use that word preach. Prabhuji, you cannot use that word. Yes, Prabhu. When I go there, sometimes, don't ask me which temple. I'm smarter than that. But there is, I cannot use the P word. So I am just so grateful to Krishna that here I am, 61 years old. How do I look for 61? Good? That I still, I think it was Bhakti Siddhanta, yes, Bhakti Siddhanta, Prabhupada's spiritual master used to say, one who has life, he can preach. So I'd have to say, yes, I do have that kind of energy. I want to preach. Oh, there I said it again. Shame on me. I want to do this Krishna consciousness, talk about Krishna, sing about Krishna, till I'm 108. Will you give me that blessing? So bless me by everyone. Chant the Maha Mantra and bless me. I cannot repay you for that blessing. I hope it comes true. Of course, I want to be 108 and have some energy, not... Ugh. So that's my realization. I'm very, very grateful to Krishna in my life. So tomorrow is... What day is tomorrow? Besides Monday. Columbus, right? Supposedly, the rumor is he discovered America. Isn't that what... Do they still teach that, or they have? Has he been replaced by Toyota or something? Or actually, it was the Chinese that... Right? So, Columbus discovered America. But for me, and that's not so significant. What is significant is that this Srila Prabhupada, in 1965, arrived in Boston and started this Krishna consciousness movement when he finally landed in New York City and started this Krishna consciousness movement. That, to me, is the most important day in American, in world history. The day Srila Prabhupada came to America on the order of his spiritual master. And when he first arrived in Boston, and while spent some time, took a little walk, and on the pier, on the boat, he wrote a very nice poem. And this poem, to me, I have to read every year. Just like every year you get your car registration, every year you get a checkup with your doctor. So I didn't get to do this year. So I'd like to speak on Srila Prabhupada's poem when he arrived here in America. Yes. That's all right. Now I look nice, right? These garlands, why are they significant? They're significant because this is the blessing of Krishna. Indian people, you know, you come to temple to get ashirvad. When you approach a holy man, you want ashirvad. This is ashirvad. Now don't come and fight after the lecture. Prabhu, give me. I will give to someone. Krishna will tell me. So, when I wear these, when you get a garland, you should wear it as long as possible. Sometimes I give a garland to someone and I say, wear it to bed. Because what this garland is doing, all my bad karma is coming out. It is like it's a transcendental, mystical herb that all my bad karma is coming out. Pretty good, huh? Very nice. So if you ever get a garland, wear it as long as you can. Just like when Archita, for those of you who know, my best friend here at the temple, Archita does. And when we do the high school and college preaching programs, inevitably, one of the questions is, hey, what's that paint on your face? So we tell them, oh, this is a very good question. Because, especially this one, because the more you look at me, I'm delivering you from all your bad karma. So keep looking at me. The students really like that. Then all of a sudden they're paying attention. So yes, that is how we understand. Looking at someone with this tilak is beneficial, anyone who sees. So I'd like to speak a little bit about Srila Prabhupada's poem when he arrived in America in September of 1965. Looking at this audience, some of you were not even born yet. You were in another body. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul. Hey, this is perfect to how I'm feeling. That's exactly how I've been feeling these last 3 days. You are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. This is also how I feel whenever I go anywhere in the world and I'm preaching. I can't help it. I'm addicted to that word. Wherever, when I go to that temple, I'm supposed to use the word sharing. When I'm sharing. Krishna consciousness. Yes. This is exactly how I feel. Whether it's here or some other temple or another country or someone's home, that's exactly how I feel. I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. Because this sharing, preaching, is very, very dynamic. Because you never know, what is that movie expression? Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. So sharing, preaching, is just like that. You never know. You never know who's going to be in the audience, and you never know if you're going to get that odd character. Prabhu, can you? And then you get that question. It's like, oh, no, not that one. You never know. It's so the preacher's mood is, my dear Lord, you can do with me whatever you like. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me? Now, here, don't get offended, America. Okay, and don't blame the messenger. This is what Srila Prabhupada wrote. Why did you bring me to this terrible place? What? He's blaspheming America? Well, from his transcendental vision, having come not just from India, but the land of Vrindavan, coming to a country which is at that time and even more so today, so materialistic. India is the land of religion, right? Japan used to be known as the land of technology. America, what's America famous for? Disneyland. Baseball. Las Vegas. The land of sense gratification. You can get anything you want. In Alice's restaurant, that's America. You can get it all kinds of sense gratification. No limit, no restriction. Come on, let's go for it. Whereas India, through the centuries, has been the country of religion and philosophy. So coming from that tradition, what to speak, Srila Prabhupada is sadhu, holy man, has spent his whole life preparing himself to come on the order of his spiritual master to share the message of Krishna. All right? When he arrived, he was 70 years old. He celebrated his 70th birthday on the boat coming over. So he had spent 70 years preparing himself for this event. But he understood what he was coming into. To some extent, a country where everything he was about to share would be something very, very foreign. For instance, he goes on to explain, most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied. And that is what we call Maya. Maya means that actually you are in these lower modes of nature, passion and ignorance. But at the same time, Maya's other potency is you feel happy and satisfied. But someone who has transcendental vision, someone who's coming from the mode of goodness, and what to speak Srila Prabhupada, the mode of pure goodness, he can see that this so-called happiness in the modes of passion and ignorance is actually false. It's actually suffering. You're suffering and you think you're enjoying. That's Maya. If you want a good definition of Maya, because when you come to the temple, that's, you hear it every day. Prabhu, you're in Maya. So what does it mean we say someone's in? It means you're in the modes of passion and ignorance. You're actually suffering, but you think you're happy. That's why Maya is so great. She's got that. That's the real matrix. It's right there. This whole material world is the real matrix set up by Krishna. And therefore, they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudev. Everyone say that beautiful name.
Vasudev.
Yes, Dwarkadish is here. He'll make sure that we pronounce it properly. Vasudev. Everybody?
Vasudev.
How did we do, Dwarkadish? Correct? Very good. So, the transcendental message of Vasudev, that is the Bhagavad Gita. And as you know, I'm going to ask, how many of us are reading Bhagavad Gita every day? Oh, better than some other places I go. But every hand should be up, except for those from Whittier College. You're off the hook. But everybody else, your hand should be up. Because that's our main scripture. That's our main book, Bhagavad Gita. We should be reading daily. Nobody should fast from Bhagavad Gita. No fasting. Every day, drink through your eyes and ears the holy Bhagavad Gita. And you'll become very knowledgeable, very intelligent, and very beautiful and blessed. Actually, if you read Bhagavad Gita every day, little by little, it'll become one of your best friends. Because when you're down and troubled, and you need some... Am I a good singer or what? And you need some loving care, the Bhagavad Gita is there. I'm rapping, man. Yes, Bhagavad Gita is especially there at those times when your back's against the wall, when you're between a rock and a hard place. Bhagavad Gita is there. And it's you'll always find something in Bhagavad Gita to soothe your heart and mind. Soothe it. So I urge you, I beg you, I put straw in my mouth, I flatter you 1,000 times. Please, everyone, read Bhagavad Gita every day. If you don't have Bhagavad Gita, maybe that's why some of you didn't raise your hand. If you don't have Bhagavad Gita, here is Yasho. Yasho, raise your hand. Yasho will make sure that you get a... Will you see to it? So anyone who needs a... So there's no excuse. So that the next time you see me, and when I say how many of you are reading Bhagavad Gita, apart from the new people and Whittier College, everyone's hand will be raised. All in favor, say Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Thank you very much. I do not know how they will be able to understand it, but I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. Yes. Krishna, God, he is the master of all mystics. And he can do amazing miracles. One time, a Christian group came here. They were from the south, I think, and they were doing a tour. And they were very strong Christian preachers. Actually, it was a preaching school. So they came here to see how to defeat the enemy, us. So this one young lady was asking me, you know, you have any miracles? Because in our Bible we have so many miracles. I said, miracles? That's a dime a dozen. We've got hundreds and thousands of miracles in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Chaitanya. They don't think you have a monopoly on miracles, man. We got so many miracles we can talk about. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. This is how a real preacher is feeling. This is how someone who's trying to give others Krishna consciousness, this is how that person is thinking. I am simply praying, O Lord, for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. In other words, and Prabhupada elsewhere says, and he'll say it at the end, I have no qualifications. I have no qualifications. So it's not me. I'm not the doer. But if Krishna is pleased with me, and if Krishna gives me his mercy, he will help me to say the right thing so that others will be convinced about his message. So this is how I should think, or anyone out there, any of you who would like to become a sharer, a preacher of Krishna's message. Always remember, everything comes from Krishna. And when Krishna empowers you, then amazing things can happen. We have devotees in this temple who for years and years and years and years and years go out every day trying to distribute Prabhupada's books to the general public. Not an easy thing to do. First of all, who wants to spend money for a book about God? Right? Wherever they may be, in the shopping malls, at the universities. So a devotee's job is very difficult. Practically speaking, insurmountable. Here we are in America. What's everybody interested in? Sense gratification, football, parties, light beer, whatever. Everybody is mad for these sense gratification. The devotee has to try to say something to get this person to, first of all, stop. Right? Because everybody's busy, busy. Excuse me, sir. Just to get someone to stop, right? And then, I want to share something with you. What is it? A book about God. Oh, go away. So the devotee is constantly praying to Krishna. Same way Prabhupada, please, I want to be able to convince them about your message. This is the inner mood. I have one good friend. His name is Vijay Das. I know many of you know Vijay Das. He has been distributing Bhagavad Gita for more than, maybe I think 2 decades, if not more. And that's exactly what he's doing when he's giving a book to someone. Inside, he's praying to Krishna, please convince them in their heart to please take this book for their benefit. That is the mood of a real devotee who is trying to bring others to Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada now explains some philosophy in his prayer. All living entities have become under the control of the illusory energy. So that's again, Maya. The illusory energy. It looks real, feels real, tastes real, seems real, but in the end, it's all a dream. Just ask anyone who's gone through a divorce. They'll tell you. It was really good on the wedding day. Everything was roses. But 5, 6, 10 years later, they're fighting like anything. Was it turned out to be an illusion? Or how about we had that experience some years ago, Enron. People had put their whole life savings into this Enron, which itself was an illusion. And then the day came, nothing. No retirement. You just lose. Probably it happened again a couple of years ago. Remember that, what was that, bank bailout? Very curious. And who's paying for that? Yes, us. Not the U.S. Yeah, U.S. means us. Another illusion. This whole material, and then it will happen to all of us without exception. The day of our death will come. And on the day of our death, we will then realize, oh, this whole material life was simply a dream. And now I'm really starting to wake up from the dream. That is exactly what material existence is. It's a dream. So the illusory energy, all living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy, my Lord, by your will. And therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released. So this is why we chant the Maha Mantra. By the way, can you remind me, what is the Maha Mantra? I forgot it. Thank you for reminding me. Sometimes I get amnesia. So, this Maha Mantra is a prayer. My Lord, for so long I have been under the clutches of the illusory energy, but now I come to you. Please put me in your service. That's reality. That's not a dream. Everything that you do when you come to the temple, this is not the dream. This is reality. And when you go about your day and you remember Krishna, or you're chanting, or what was the book I want you all to read every day? When you do that, that's not a dream. That's real. That is real thing. That is eternal. Prabhupada used to say, every one of you, there's an account with your name on it. And every time you do any kind of devotional activity, it's marked down. And no government can take that away. You cannot lose your account. It's a permanent account. You have an account, I have an account. And every time you ring the bell, you come to the temple, you chant Hare Krishna, you give a donation, see? That's why they like me here. Give a donation. See, they're marking. Oh, we like Nirantara. Keep talking, buddy. Every time you do a sponsorship, every time you do anything connected to Krishna, it's going down into your permanent account. And your account is accruing spiritual interest. It's building, building, building. So my job is to help you increase and do more and more and more devotional activities so that your account becomes so full of spiritual assets. Let's all chant one more time. So, we are praying to Krishna to be released from the grip of the illusory energy. I wish that you may deliver them. And if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. So, being able to understand Bhagavad Gita is a gift from God. Don't think it's an academic thing. I was speaking about this last night. I was in another temple, and I was explaining to the congregation that if in this life you have come to the point where you understand that this Krishna here is God, that is one of the greatest gifts you could possibly achieve in this lifetime. It's confirmed in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, one who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting, that's the key, without doubting, is the knower of everything. So if you've come to that point in your life, you should consider yourself extremely blessed, because not many people can actually say, yes, I am convinced without a shadow of a doubt that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to Bhagavad Gita, that is something which occurs after many, many lifetimes. Doesn't come overnight. And it's not a cheap thing. It's a special gift. So I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But if you can say to yourself, yes, I have accepted without a doubt that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you should know that you have been specifically blessed by God. I hope that is true. And if it's not true, then I bless you, like Prabhupada is praying, that you too, as soon as possible, can come to that stage where I can say to anyone and everyone, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have in our movement, I know two sannyasis who come from extremely wealthy families, millionaires. In both of their cases, their parents said to these two young sannyasis separately, if you don't give up this Krishna, we're cutting you out of the inheritance. This is true. And in both cases, they said, you keep your inheritance. We're not giving up Krishna and Prabhupada. That's the test. Now you have to ask yourself, what about me? Supposing the day comes, all right, you give up Krishna and we'll make you king of the world. Let me see. No. You have to say no to the devil. You have to be able to say no. No amount of money, no position, no fame, no nothing. I'd rather be poor, but I will not give up my faith and devotion and love to this Krishna. But he's a stone statue. No, he's not a stone statue. He's God. Are you worshiping idols? I'm not worshiping idols. I'm worshiping God. I am worshiping God also in sound. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is sound. But this sound is God. Gee, there's a biblical verse. In the beginning was the Word. Sounds like Om. We were reading about Om this morning. I was giving a class, and the whole class was about Om. How Om is the sound representation of the Absolute Truth. Om is complete. Om is God in sound form. You agree? You have been blessed. Yes. So, we don't worship idols. We worship God. You worship idols. There's a show. What is it called? American Idol. You worship Dollar Bill. You worship Lady Gaga. So, if anybody's worshiping idols, it's not us. We're worshiping God. You agree? Don't let them play that trick on you. I've got it all the time, especially when I go home. Hey, why you mumble that same thing over and over and over and over, my father says. I'll never get it. I've been telling him the same thing for over 30 years. And it goes in one ear, out the other. Can't understand. Although he did sit in this temple room many years ago. He did sit through one of my lectures. Praise the Lord! He actually sat in the back and listened to one of my lectures. But if I could just get him to accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still, when my wife calls him, he'll sometimes say, so, tell me about Hare Krishna. So he said it, right? He said it. So he's going to get some benefit. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. Prabhupada continues in his prayer, the words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. That's exactly. Because in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a question that's raised. What will people do in the age of Kali now that Krishna has left the planet? Because the very day Krishna left the planet, that was 5,000 years ago, the age of Kali began. So the question very early in the Bhagavatam is, now that Krishna has gone and with him went religion and all good things, what will people do for shelter, for light in this dark age of Kali? And the answer is given in chapter 3? The answer is Srimad Bhagavatam. So after you read Bhagavad Gita every day, then you want to read the next series. And that's called Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita is only 700 verses. That's all. It's a small little book. Bhagavatam is 18,000. But it's good. Srimad Bhagavatam takes Bhagavad Gita and expounds on it. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll learn all about Krishna. What's his phone number? What's his address? What he likes to do? What he likes to eat? Who his friends are? What he does all day. It's all there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Very, very wonderful, full explanation of the science of God. Do you hear what I said? Science of God. I was challenged once in Cal State, LA by a lady student. How you can say science of God? Science means biology, chemistry, physics, and you're saying science of God? That's nonsense. I said, no. Science means you have a procedure and you get an expected result. 2 parts hydrogen, 1 part oxygen, what do you get?
Water.
If you follow the procedure as it is designated in the scientific textbooks, you get the result. I said to the lady, same way, if you follow this scientific book called Bhagavad Gita, if you do exactly what Krishna says, you will get a predictable result. It's called love of God. How many people want to develop love of God? Very good. You follow Bhagavad Gita, you will develop love of God. Then, of course, the next question is, so have you realized God? No, I haven't gotten to that stage. But if you were to see me 35 years ago, you would say, wow, what a transformation. Yes. When I was 35 or 40 years younger, I was a completely different animal. You wouldn't recognize me. All right? So it is true. I have seen the transformation in my life. And therefore, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I have every reason to believe that if I, what did that Mr. Bush say? Stay the course. If I stay the course, then I will reach the goal. My goal is to achieve love of God. That's my goal. And by following Prabhupada's instructions, Krishna's instructions, I see it happening little by little by little. And that's why I spend every day hours chanting, reading, and studying. Because I want to achieve that goal. Hopefully you should also want to achieve that goal. But what do they say? No pain, no gain. You have to, as we say in New York, walk the walk and talk the talk. You have to put in. It's not just you get zapped. It's not that you get mercy. No, you have to put in the effort, the time. Just like they'll tell you, psychiatrist, psychologist, if there's a problem with the family, oh, you need to spend quality time with the family. And you'll see those commercials. Yes, you should have dinner together. This is very good for the family unit. So yes, this concept of spending quality time is applicable in your relationship with Krishna. You have to make quality time for Krishna. So that quality time for Krishna means quality time with your Japamala. How many of you are chanting on Japamala every day? Oh, pretty good. If you need Japamala, Yasho will take care of you. You're going to be very busy today, Yasho. Everyone should be spending quality time with Krishna. He's a person. Just like when a young boy, young girl, right, when they become attracted, they're texting, they're phoning, they're IMing, they're constantly in touch with. Nothing's changed. I was the same way. Right? So the same way, we need to be constantly in touch with our beloved Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Because he's a person. That's the key. He is a person. Just like you're a person. You're a person. I'm a person. Krishna is a person. He's not some impersonal object. He's a real person. And he's willing to relate to you, but you have to pay the price. You have to put in the time, the effort, the devotion. If a girl is being courted by various suitors, then the one that's going to give the most devotion and love, money, and time and energy will be the one that she selects. It's all part. Right? It's all part. So you have to give. You have to give as, and we see Krishna says, Ma may come. Exclusive devotion. No girl is going to accept some man if she knows, yeah, he's got 20 others on the side. No, she also wants mame come. I was saying this last night. Ladies, if you're married, right? You want exclusive devotion from your hubby, don't you? Yes, thank you. Somebody's brave enough to say yes. Right? You want that exclusive. My time. So Krishna, God is a person. He's looking for those who are prepared to give him exclusive attention. And we cry out. Again, let's all chant one time. Everybody. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. And if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he or she will be able to understand your message. So it's simply a process of hearing and trying to understand. You'll see in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will say, try to understand. Krishna knows this subject matter is difficult, but you try to understand. Srila Prabhupada exemplified that. When his spiritual master would speak, he would use a kind of language that was very, very high philosophy. And Srila Prabhupada said, he admitted, that sometimes my Guru Maharaj would speak, I would not understand him, but I would still listen. So, as you progress in your spiritual lives, and you'll be reading or hearing, there will be things that don't make sense to you, that are above your head. Don't worry about it. Keep hearing the transcendental message. And don't fret about the things you don't understand. Worry about or be concerned about what you do understand. Like for me, I'll be very honest. When I first joined this movement in 1973, I couldn't understand anything of Bhagavad Gita. There would be some devotees, I won't mention their names, but there would be some devotees giving class. After about 2 minutes, I would like this. But what did I latch onto? Prasadam. That's what kept me going. Let the guy talk, I don't care. In a half an hour, we're going to eat. Jai. I could understand prasadam. Now look at me now. Huh? I've not starved, have I? But, taking that prasadam little by little, I've learned something, have I not? Something has stuck. Now, like when, it took me a long time for me to actually appreciate Bhagavad Gita. I found it very difficult. There were other books like Krishna book and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Oh, I really liked that, but Bhagavad Gita was very hard. Then maybe it was 20, 25 years, all of a sudden, Krishna said, okay, fool, Forrest Gump, it's time for you to understand Bhagavad Gita. And then all of a sudden, Bhagavad Gita became, I was able to, wow, Bhagavad Gita's cool. And then that's all I could read was Bhagavad Gita. I was, every day, I just had to read it. It was just like it opened up. So again, these are gifts from God. And you just have to be patient and wait for your gifts to come. And if you stay the course, if you try to understand, the day will come. That when I first started, the devotees were saying so many things. I was going, what are they talking about? But later on, one day, like, there'd be so many concepts. So after some time, you'd be chanting, and all of a sudden, bam, oh, that's what that means. Oh, now it makes sense. Because you got to understand, I'm very stupid. I am just, how many of you seen that movie, Forrest Gump? Yes, I am the Krishna conscious version of Forrest Gump. Stupid is as stupid does. But for some reason, Krishna loves me. Krishna loves me, thus I know, because the Gita tells me so. Hallelujah. So, be patient. Krishna will bless you. One of my favorite stories of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there was a Brahmin. And this Brahmin blasphemed Lord Chaitanya. And as soon as he blasphemed Lord Chaitanya, he got the karma. He was stricken with a deadly disease, cholera. And he was on his deathbed. But because this Brahmin was related to one of Lord Chaitanya's nice devotees, Sarvabhauma, when Lord Chaitanya heard that this Brahmin, who had blasphemed him to his face, was dying, Lord Chaitanya ran there. He ran to his deathbed and said, you are the son of a Brahmin. Your heart is supposed to be pure. Why are you allowing the witches of jealousy and envy to sit in your heart? Arise and chant the Maha Mantra, and Krishna will unfailingly give you his mercy. And this Brahmin did it. He chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and he was saved from death. So this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, what did Lord Chaitanya say? Will unfailingly give you his mercy. Do you want the mercy of God? Then chant this Maha Mantra. Everybody. One will become liberated from the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. This is another explanation of the first Shikshastakam prayer of Lord Chaitanya. Same idea. You will become liberated from the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance. Passion, what is the influence? Greed. Anger, lust, just unlimited longings, anger and enviousness. These modes of passion and ignorance don't make you happy. They make you more and more mad, more and more frustrated. Or as we say, oh Prabhu, I'm fried. I'm fried. Yes. When you're fried, it means that you have come to the end of the modes of nature. They have done their spell on you, and that's your dessert. Misery, suffering, unhappiness. What was that song? I can't get no satisfaction. Of course, you're not getting any satisfaction. You're in the modes of passion and ignorance. Can't expect any happiness in the modes of passion and ignorance. Happiness is there in the mode of goodness. And real happiness is in the spiritual platform. In fact, there's a word better than happiness. Come close and I'll tell you. Bliss. Bliss. It's such a nice, even the word is like, ooh, bliss. Ooh, I want that. How much? Can I buy it online? Can I get it on Amazon.com? No, you can get bliss just by worshiping Krishna, loving Krishna, and chanting that Maha Mantra one more time, please. Prabhupada finishes his poem. How will I make them understand this message? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Just see how Srila Prabhupada actually feels. This is the symptom of a real, honest-to-goodness, pure devotee. There is not a pinch of pride. He actually feels like this. I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. And I am therefore seeking your benediction so that I can convince them. For I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure as you like. So how did I do today? Was it all right? Thank you, Jesus. O spiritual master of the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. And I'll be very honest. That is how I have tried to live my preaching, sharing life. This is exactly what I've tried to do. Those of you who know me for many, many years in my preaching, you know that this is how I've done it. I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. See, that's the art of sharing and preaching. Depending on the audience, you speak appropriately. Since this is a mixed audience, then that's why I said certain things. Because I know if I say certain things, a certain clientele will pick up on that. And then if I say other things, a different client. That's why I'm the best. In all humility, of course. You can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. Because we have an expression. Purity is the force. That when a devotee is pure, then whatever he or she speaks will actually have an effect on the audience. It's not a question of simply scholarship, but it's actually a question of purity. Purity of purpose, purity of life. Then when someone speaks, it actually has an effect. How was it that Srila Prabhupada, who was his first disciples? It wasn't scholars, it wasn't Hindus, it was hippies, not your typical candidates who are going to take up a spiritual discipline. But how was he able to convince them? Purity. These early disciples who were hippies, they could at least perceive that Srila Prabhupada was extremely pure and extremely humble. And by his purity and his love and his relentless desire, this movement has grown. The early days of this movement into now, who'd have thunk? It's inconceivable how this movement has progressed. It's inconceivable that this movement still exists. But it's there all over the world. And as I said in my first opening comment, welcome to a house where the whole world could live. And you can go anywhere in the world now. I've seen it. I've gone to Chile. There are devotees in Chile. I've been to Panama, South Africa. You go and I'm hoping, is there a devotee in Alaska? Where Sarah Palin says she can see Russia. But can she see Krishna? That's the question. We want to expand this movement. Everywhere I go in the world, there's a Starbucks. Everywhere I go. So everywhere there should be a Hare Krishna temple and a Govinda's restaurant. It's up to you to make it happen. Prabhupada used to say, I'm only one man. And he used to say, if you want to, because we used to ask him, Prabhupada, how can we repay you for what you have done? Prabhupada said, whatever I have taught you, you give it to others. Expand this movement. We are all meant to expand this movement. Are you ready to do that? Do it in whatever way you can. In your workplace, in your home, wherever. That was Lord Chaitanya's order. Lord Chaitanya wants every one of you to become guru. Hey, young girl, you ready to become guru? Good. Hey, she said yes. Let's give her a hand. Yeah. Guru Dave, what's your name? Leona. Please accept my humble obeisances. So, how old are you? 9. So, when you go to school, you tell everyone about Krishna. Can you do that? Yes. You do that? Give her another. She's already preaching. I want your blessings. So every one of us in our lives, in our work, wherever, somehow or other, give somebody something related to Krishna. Like my wife does sometimes. She'll make some prasad. She'll put it on her desk and all the lawyers come by. Oh, what's that? And my wife says, oh, it's very nice. And they're eating. And what are they eating? Krishna prasad. The ultimate secret weapon. So make prasad, distribute prasad, distribute these books. If not, if all you can do, just tell someone, Hari Bol. Just say, Hare Krishna. You have begun your sharing, your preaching. I am sure that when this message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance, O Lord, make me dance as you like. So it looks like I'm sitting here, but actually, I'm a dancer. I'm actually dancing. And Krishna is pulling, because I don't know what's going to come out next. I'm just letting it flow. I'm just letting it rip, as we say. I'm just jamming. I am just depending on Krishna. Krishna, please make sure that the next thing I say really isn't Forrest Gump. Make sure it's something that you or Prabhupada has said. Here's Prabhupada's final statement. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. That is the ultimate benediction. Every one of us should pray, my Lord, I want to have strong faith in your holy name. Everyone pray with me. My Lord, please allow me to have firm faith in your holy name. Hari Bol! I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhakti Vedanta, signed the most insignificant, unfortunate beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America, 18th September, 1965. To me, this is greater than the, what is that document? Declaration of Independence. For those of you who want to go and take prasad, please feel free. I'm going to do a little chanting. If you have any questions, come up. If you want blessings, they're free of charge tonight. Anyone who would like to contact me, you can come and get one of my cards. Otherwise, Class is dismissed. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hari Bol. May Krishna bless you. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. May Krishna bless you and protect you. Hari Bol.
Some of us musicians, we just have to repeat the message.
Jai.
Right? I'm quoting you.
Krishna says, give this to you. Jai Ho. Hari Bol. May Krishna bless you. Jai. Gopalji.